Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 11th, 2020, a day that will live in infamy. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is the force that is Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
Gary, there's a lot going on today.
There's a lot going on.
First of all, people might be wondering.
I always complain that when I come in, there's nothing happening on Widow Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah. There's so much happening.
Gangbusters
right
news day.
There is so much happening right now. Number one, Greg is on Shock Mic.
What up, everybody?
Greg's already here. He can't wait to join us.
Yeah. Yesterday, I know Greg said that today was going to be, Greg and Gary for Widow Wednesday. Turns out it's Blessing and Gary.
Well, then
Greg.
They were like, hey, you should come on and do the spoiler cast
for Outsider.
Outsider. Yeah. Thank you. You're paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. It's not like anything ever happens on Widow Wednesday. And then here we are.
And then everything happened.
It's all kicking off. And finally, my time to shine.
Now, video watchers might also be wondering why are Greg and Bless or not Greg, Gary and Blessing so far away from each other? And
social distancing, my friend.
Yeah, we gotta stay healthy. We can't risk it.
I said to Blessing before the show, because you know we're thought leaders here at Kind of Funny, and we want to lead by example. Let's practice that social distancing. We can still do our jobs like this.
Of course.
We're just a little bit farther apart.
Now, the problem is you're getting closer to me, though, Gary.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate that. And you've had a bit of a sniffle lately. I have
allergies. Okay. And let me tell you, my body really decided to fuck me on this one.
Really?
Let's get allergies in the middle of coronavirus. So you're always worried. Even when you figure it out. Because I talked about it in the Greg way I put up over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, better than blessed way, no big deal. And one of the responses was like, oh yeah, I thought I had allergies, then all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, cool. But did Claritin solve your issues? Because Claritin solved my issues.
If anyone coughs or sneezes around you right now, whether it's clearing your throat or allergies, you're walking the fuck away.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So you stay there.
Okay.
You coughed before the show. You stay over there.
But that is my morning cough.
You got to clear your throat.
Yeah, that's the thing.
We all, on a normal day, probably everybody coughs at some point or sneezes at some point.
Yes.
But now it is that we're all hyper aware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So this also means that this will prevent us from falling into the habit of, because you do it automatically. It's so easy to like shake hands without thinking about it.
And that's the tradition.
But we'll have a nice little wave at the end.
Yeah, we'll wave at the end instead of shaking hands. We'll do the whole thing.
Today's wash your hands. Stay home as much as you can. Social distancing, do everything the experts tell you to do. Do not fuck around.
Be smart. Today's stories include the shocking cancellation of E3 and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. We're hosting and producing a debut stream for the game Core on Thursday, March 19th at 3 p.m. Pacific time. You can tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to see the devs of Manticore Games join Greg as they build multiplayer maps or multiplayer games live in Core and invite you to play. Think Dreams if it was used to make Capture the Flag games and death matches in seconds. You can follow at Core Games on Twitter for details and catch their write-up on The Verge right now. Thanks to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, that's Momo, Drew Gardner, Blackjack, and the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. I started calling him that like a week ago, and he finally tweeted, and he was like, oh, yeah, no, I love Momo. And so, Momo, that's for you.
We love you.
Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, Mint Mobile, and Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got four stories today.
Wait, mustn't forget.
Weight update.
The weight loss journey continues, even in the midst of a pandemic. 227.4, down another pound and a half, 25.5 pounds down total.
How much is that, Barrett?
What?
A baker's dozen.
Oh. I
threw a curveball at you hoping that you'd catch it.
Yeah, even I didn't get it right. It would have been good if
Barrett,
you picked it up.
I'm gonna tweet you right now, too. There's someone, WB said something about Batman.
God fucking damn it.
Oh, God.
A baker's dozen.
Starting
Let's
with
get
number
into
one.
A big news day.
Big news day. It's official. E3 2020 has been canceled. This statement comes directly from the ESA. They write, after careful consultation with our member companies regarding the health and safety of everyone in our industry, our fans, our employees, our exhibitors, and our longtime E3 partners, we've made the difficult decision to cancel E3 2020, scheduled for June 9th through 11th in Los Angeles. Following increased and overwhelming concerns about the COVID-19 virus, we felt this was the best way to proceed during such an unprecedented global situation. We are very disappointed that we are unable to hold this event for our fans and supporters. We know but we know it's the right decision based on the information we have today. Our team will be reaching out directly to exhibitors and attendees with information about providing full refunds. We are also exploring options with our members to coordinate an online experience to showcase industry announcements and news in June 2020. Updates will be shared on E3Expo.com. We thank everyone who shared their views on reimagining E3 this year. We look forward to bringing you E3 2021 as a reimagined event that brings fans, media, and the industry together in a showcase that celebrates the global video game industry. Gary, Greg, this started to break last night as, I believe, Devolver Digital put out a tweet. It was like, hey, folks, just cancel your E3 flights and hotels. Which, of all places, I wasn't expecting Devolver Digital, the publishers of my friend Pedro, to be the ones to kind of break this news.
Well, you saw the real source of all this, right?
What was this?
This cam girl?
No. Yeah. Wait, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not really following the cam girl scene as much as you, Greg. Yeah, I wasn't. What's going on?
Well, if you follow the news scene as much as I did, Mr. Witta, all right? No, it could easily be... It could easily be just somebody who is making a joke or just guessing. Because obviously, if you would have asked us 4 or 5 days ago, is E3 going to get canceled? Like, yeah, of course probably. It is. Yeah, yeah. A cam girl put up a thing saying, hey, E3 is going to get canceled this year. This guy I was hanging out with or whatever, working for, just told me that that's going to happen because of coronavirus. And she tagged Giant Bomb, Waypoint, and all these different places.
Wow. That's funny. I didn't know that happened.
I was going through that, and that account follows me as well. It's just like, oh.
Then tweet at her right now and be like, hey, thanks for telling us. You know what I mean? Could have been a Games Daily news story. Could have been a big story.
I know, yeah.
Gary, what's your first reaction to this news?
My first reaction to this, let's talk about what's important first. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely the right choice. This had to happen. The only thing that's surprising to me is that it took this long. This has been in the cards for weeks. We knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of days, everyone was saying, like, it's just a matter of time, waiting for the other shoe to drop. It finally dropped today. Thank God they made the right decision. We are in the middle of a serious public health emergency right now. If you don't believe that, you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Anyone who listens to the science and the experts on this knows that this is going to get way worse before it gets any better. We can't fuck around right now. Is it a good idea right now to summon hundreds of thousands of people, however many it is, from all over the country, all over the world, shove them into a large, enclosed, poorly ventilated arena and have them all share game controllers for 3 days? No, of course it's fucking not. Mm. This had to be canceled. And it would have been absolute fucking insanity, bordering on criminal negligence, to continue with E3. Given what we're facing.
Yeah.
In terms of the less important stuff, there are some people at the ESA who may even be breathing a sigh of relief because they think a lot of people were feeling like E3 was going to be a shit show this year, even without the coronavirus. Major companies have pulled out.
Yeah.
It was probably going to be a bit lame. It might have led to people questioning why are we still having E3. So now they get to do what I've been doing anytime I want to get out of a social engagement. Coronavirus! Not our fault. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually a nice little get a jail free card for them. The problem is, it'll be interesting to see now how people, Xbox and so forth, what are they going to do? Move their events? Yeah, Xbox still want to do their reveal. Maybe it'll just be an empty arena online thing, whatever
Phil,
it is that they
Phil's
do.
Phil's been talking today online.
Yeah.
Who knows? But the absence of E3 this year may end up having the same effect. People looking back on it and going, what do we need E3 for? We didn't really feel like we missed anything.
There have been quite a few tweets this morning. One from Ubisoft saying an update regarding E3 2020. The health and well-being of I gotta scoot up to my laptop because this text is small. The health and well-being of teams.
For the record, bless, like you can't your computer can't cough in your face. You can get closer to your computer. Oh,
and you can make the text bigger on the screen.
Well,
it's like magic.
It's an image that I copied onto the dock, and if I make it bigger, then the resolution will get fucked. The health and well-being of teams, players, and partners is our top priority. So while we're disappointed, we fully support the ESA's decision to cancel E3 2020. E3 is and will continue to be a moment where we come together as a community and share our love of games. We're exploring other options for a digital experience that will allow us to share all the exciting news we have planned. Stay tuned for more. Then Phil Spencer tweeted, that was Ubisoft. This is Phil Spencer talking on behalf of Xbox. E3 has always been an important moment for Team Xbox. Given this decision, this year we'll celebrate the next generation of gaming with the Xbox community and all who love to play via an Xbox digital event. Details on timing and more in the coming weeks. And then separately, and maybe I'll come back to this last one because Jason Schreier had a tweet this morning.
That's almost his own news story.
Yeah, right? That's almost his own news story. And so I'm going to keep that one in the pocket for now. But sure. Yeah, it seems that the big players are looking at different options.
Which, like, you'd expect, right?
Yeah.
We all knew they
It's
would
not really that big a deal. So right now, for example, in a lot of countries like Italy, they're playing their football, their soccer matches behind closed doors. The matches are going ahead. You can watch them on TV, but there's no crowd.
Yeah.
Do you think that Xbox will do a big stagey event, but with no live audience?
No.
What do you think
it'll be,
they'll
do? I think it'll be like Nintendo Direct. I think okay. it'll be a much more. It'll be like Kind of Funny Game Showcase. It'll be like any other of the long litany of things. It'll
just
be
like a bigger version of Inside
at a desk
Xbox.
Talking. Yeah, kinda? Exactly. On a, it'll be like the Stadia Direct. We have a green screen behind them, and they talk about what they're doing and where they're going. And I don't think they necessarily make reference to this is out of the ordinary difference. Just this is life, and we're gonna.
Yeah,
move
this
on.
Is how, it's
just
this how we're doing
the
this. Time
the nature of the Xbox presentation at E3. Like, part of that brand, it's just big and splashy. Right?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, too, that this was going to be the one to show the next generation of Xbox.
Yeah, and that's bigger.
Like you want to talk about, like, and it, like, it's, for the record, too, like, you know, we're jumping in. Obviously, we've already been going. Like, this is the right call to cancel E3. This is what should be done.
Of course.
It sucks, and obviously, we love E3, and you love the E3, and you love the pomp and circumstance of E3. Mm-hmm. I think there's so many different ways, and I see so many people twisting a bit in the wind today talking about it, where you're flipping and flopping so fast on your opinions because you're bummed that E3 happened, but you're glad you're glad that they canceled, but it sucks that they canceled. Oh my god, is the presentation gonna be good? Well, I'm glad they're doing something. Like, you're in and out.
Yeah,
and
I feel like E3 also means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, because for me as a fan, I've always looked at E3 as the place where a bunch of games get announced.
Yeah,
that's still gonna happen. That's not a thing that's changing
for the people. I think at home, like, as everything that's happening right now with coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
And the ramifications and the, you know, ripples on the pond we're going to see a year from now throughout everybody's lives, whether that is, you know, so many people are worrying right now about restaurants, right?
Right.
How many of those are going to be left standing once there's been such a dramatic drop off of people going with margins? Because stop and think about it, right? Of like, if you're a restaurant and you lose 20% of your customer base for 4 months, right? Like, that your rent doesn't change.
I mean, so there are already some businesses in Seattle that have closed permanently.
I don't want to name names. I think it was, I don't name names. Somebody, I believe, from Sony today was tweeting, and it might not have been, but it wasn't even about PlayStation-y stuff. It was the idea that even with GDC's cancelization at Moscone Center, there's been other canceled events at Moscone Center, and there's one catering company that's already laid off 40 employees because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, is the thing of E3 right now as we talk about it at Ground Zero and wrestle with all these different emotions. I'm glad they canceled E3. They had to cancel E3. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Everyone who's watching is totally fine to feel it and interpret however you want to, and be like, oh man, I'm bummed out that if you're a person who goes to E3, you won't get to see your friends at the JW and you won't get to go to the press conference. Those are all legit feelings too. If you're an at-home person, I don't think much changes.
I was going to make the exact same point.
What gets very fascinating is, though, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, because I think, you know, it changes again. I twist on it too, of what the real effects here. It's going to be very terrifying for a while, and I think fascinating in a year to look back at how this has changed the landscape of the industry on the ways you wouldn't see on a video screen or on a stage. Like, as I put out, right, like, you need to understand the amount of millions of dollars that go into E3 and come out of E3. Mm. Like, and I'm speaking out my ass here because I was never on these things, but even think of an IGN who was going to go to E3 and do a big thing and do a big show. I'm sure that was getting sponsored. I'm sure that was, they were bringing in people. I'm sure that was a big nut for them in terms of, like, we're going to bring in all this money that, you know, brings up the bottom line, brings us out of the red, does these different things. And I don't know that for sure with IGN at all. And I know they're pivoting right now. I already saw Pear tweeting that they're still going to put on a show in June, but are they going to get the same rates for that? They have the same staff. They have the same staff.
Who's
going to
put
on
a show in June?
IGN. IGN will still do something in terms, whether it's a live reaction or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah, they'll do something. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you're going to see in-person.
No. But that's what I'm saying is, like, so even though you're at home and you're still going to watch an IGN E3 presentation, when I should just say Company X, I'm not trying to attack.
And I was going to make the exact same point. Look, this for the several thousand, however many it is, the several thousand people, exhibitors, journalists, fans who were going to go to E3, it sucks. I hate going to E3. Like, I don't go anyway because like, it's no longer any fun for me. But for many people, I saw many people on Twitter yesterday going, oh, you know, I won't get to hang out with my buddies at the Marriott. And
that's been a big thing for me, because, like,
that sucks. But you'll live. We'll all, you know, and this is how you'll live, is by not getting a fucking deadly disease.
Sure. That's kind of the conversation for me, where earlier I said E3 is so many different things for so many different people, right? This would have been my first E3. And when the news started popping up last night, I was in my group chat with, like, Belinda, Rihanna, Youssef, and they were kind of talking about how bummed they were, because E3, you know, it is a place where you get gaming news, and gaming news is going to come out regardless. But it is also a big networking event, and it's like this get together for the industry.
The news is going to come out regardless, and I even think, you know, so moving on, moving forward.
But again, it's not the news is my thing that I'm worried about here. You being a video game player at home, I think is going to be the same. I know there's been...
It might even be better because those events will now be
now
targeted
be catered
more
towards
the
right.
home
it
audience.
It won't be the same thing where I'm really good at EA Play Live and people online are like, this guy's screaming into the microphone. I'm like, I'm trying to hype up fucking 500 people. Calm down. No, it'll be the opposite, though. That'll be a great experience. You're still going to get your games, but as you know, I think it was Schreier, maybe Altano today talking about it. Like, how many devs won't get their game funded or won't get to have the meeting they were going to have with a publisher to make that happen? But beyond that, I'm talking the same thing of, if you are a freelance host, I bet you looked at E3 as a way to make your bottom line make sense. And when that doesn't happen, do you go to another industry?
Look, it's going to have a big economic... Look, you said the ripple effect is huge. It's terrible for the wider LA economy. Hotels, restaurants, like all those hotel rooms are going to be empty now.
Think about just the people who build these booths, right? Like we talk about NASCAR.
Laborers
all the
and construction
right?
people. That's all gone now.
Like the
drivers, all kinds
billboard
of people.
Space alone, right? Probably makes a huge dent in
some
pockets.
So, yes, it's going to have a huge economic impact and it's going to suck, but it absolutely has to be done. There's no one out there. I don't know if anyone is out there going like they should go ahead with E3. Everyone agrees that this makes sense. Mm-hmm. What I think is interesting to talk about, because that's a settled issue. I think what's interesting to talk about beyond that is this new it's going to have to be coupled together very quickly, but this new kind of experiment that we're now going to be forced to embark upon, digital events and things like that, what does that teach us and how might that change? Like, I don't think anything's going to be the same. Like, we won't go back to the same E3 after this. We're going to learn things from this new digital E3 replacement, whatever it is, that will probably like, hey, that worked really well. Let's do more of that, or whatever it might be. Microsoft, for example, probably has an opportunity to stream their event live on Mixer and basically force people to go try out Mixer. Yeah. I think they will, I think they will probably work with the journalists to make, for example, after the big keynotes, they always have like Phil Spencer makes himself available to the journalists to interview him backstage. And that's they'll still figure out a way to do all of that. To you at home, I don't think it's going to change at all. Like I said, it might even get a little bit better because the focus is going to be entirely on the home audience.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd love to see, I know Jeff did this with Game Awards this year, and he said, look for more of it next year. Like, if you're Microsoft, and not that they weren't going to do this to begin with, but now you have to. Everybody has to do this, right? If you're Microsoft and you're like, hey, all of our games are playable on any of the family of Xboxes, which means that right now, as soon as this conference is over, you can play your first Xbox Series X game right now. We're putting up the demo for Halo Infinite that you can download. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the those.
Do
are
you
the
think
kind
that's
of,
that's this? Because that was going to be my next question. Is E3 being different things to different people? Right? It's a place for press to get their hands on games. Do you think the solution is going to be for a lot more companies to put their games out as demos during E3?
Yeah, I think you're going to see that. I mean, again, this now has to be cobbled together very quickly. I think probably if the companies like Microsoft are smart, which I think they are, they've probably been planning for this for a while, knowing that the shoe's going to drop.
Yeah, that's how they already have this response. Like, they've been.
No
talking
one
about
was
this
blindsided
release.
By this. No. If you're paying attention, no one was blindsided by this. So I think you are going to see more game demos. I think you're going to see a game demo festival on Xbox Live and PlayStation.
Which would be awesome.
I would love that.
I hope so.
I don't think you will.
You don't think so?
I think the fact that, like, even for us personally, right, the demos that people take to a PAX or to an E3 or whatever are running on test kits.
That's true. And they only have to hold up for, like, a short period.
I think what you're more likely to see from our side as press people was what we've already seen from the fallout of GDC is that I have a bunch of appointments. I think you have a couple booked now, too, that are, hey, we're going to live stream a demo to you where they're going to either send us a video package of somebody already playing through the game that we
whether it's a playable demo or stuff you can download or whatever it is, they're going to come up with different things. Greg, this is what I want to ask you, Greg, and Blessing also. Do you think, to the point I made earlier, that let's say that this new, whatever this digital E3 replacement's going to be is a great success and people like it. Do you think that next year people would go, we didn't really miss that much by not going to E3. Do we really need to do this every year? Like, do you think that this will have a lasting effect on E3 going forward?
I do.
Yeah.
I think that the people who are being forced to do this for the first time will get out there and see the numbers, which everybody loves, understand they don't need other people, understand that when they look at their coverage reports, they're getting as much, if not more, coverage from IGN, people co-streaming it, people reacting, people watching their favorite.
And for a lot of companies, going to E3 is really expensive. If they can get essentially the same takeaway,
the return,
the same outcome, if not better, and not spend anything like the same amount of money.
That's the thing, right? This is eventually going to come down to, as I'm talking about the ramifications for independent contractors and everything else, it's a dollars and cents conversation. And when Microsoft sees that, hey, we saved how many millions of dollars, and this is obviously dependent on how much they get back from what they were already planning in deposits and yada yada, but they save money by not doing a giant live event, and instead they got a huge return off this digital event, and they already have XO, like, right? That would be the thing where it's like, I would see staying away from this worked really well for us. Let's do it again next E3. We'll just do another digital thing, and then we'll make a bigger deal when coronavirus is tackled or you know tamed, and do an XO 21 and do a giant live event. And if that's what they really want, if Phil Spencer's like, no, we need that live energy, we need that live thing, make it about the fans and give it to them. Rather than gatekeep at E3, and
that's what's going to be interesting to me is like, so you think about like Ubisoft and Xbox and Devolver and the brands at E3 whose E3 presence is based on blah, like madness, spectacle, celebrities, Keanu, all that shit. I that's what I'm curious is, are they going to try to recreate that kind of energy in a digital environment?
Do they have to recreate that energy? Is my question.
I think like, it'd be kind of cool if they could, but you know, again, it's like. It's not the best analogy, but for example, I was just reading something on Twitter this morning. So again, in Italy right now, they're playing the big football league games behind closed doors, and it's not the same experience.
Oh, sure,
if you take one, you don't realize how much the crowd is part of that experience until you take them away, and it's surreal watching these top elite athletes playing in front of nobody
and just dead silence.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's why LeBron is saying, "I'm not going to if they start canceling it, he won't play behind closed doors because the fans." That's a big part of exactly. Yeah. So who knows?
He should go watch that halftime heat where The Rock fought Mankind in a False Count Anywhere match, or it was a hardcore match, but it was empty arena. It was awesome.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Chase Winters writes in and says, "Hey, Blessing Gary, with E3 all but officially canceled as I type this, developers and platforms are going to have to find their own avenues for their presentations and announcements. Since these companies were prepared to make announcements in June, do you think we'll still see a large number of announcements clustered together, or will they try to announce things either a little sooner or later in order to get a larger share of the spotlight when things aren't as busy?"
I think it'll be a bit of both. I think many of the large companies, especially those that are already closely associated with E3, like Microsoft does its big Xbox thing every year. And this is not just every year, this is new hardware year, so it's a big deal. I think that many companies are going to still try and coalesce around
like
a cluster of E3-like events. Like it's still going to feel like a festival of news for that week. But many other companies might take the opportunity to say, well, you know what, now we don't have to rush to hit an arbitrary E3. I bet you there's a lot of developers out there right now that were crunching to do E3 demo builds that might be breathing a sigh of relief
today. Yeah, they'll be like, okay, cool, we can wait till July.
Right. Now we're not on someone else's schedule.
Yeah, I want to point out the second to last paragraph in that E3 press release, right? It reads, "We are also exploring options with our members to coordinate an online experience to showcase industry announcements and news in June 2020. So E3 is trying to make E3 kind of happens still through a digital event, it seems. And I assume that's their event, or that's their attempt at making E3 week still matter. My question is that going to be successful?
It will.
You should, at this point, you should actually see this as a great opportunity to grow the Kind of Funny showcase and see what you can do to step in and help fill some of that void.
Let's update on that.
I mean, I said, I think pretty publicly, right, that if E3 went away, we'd have to do it. So I think, we have to do a showcase. And the amount, I think, even in the since GDC got canceled, moving on to then the last 24 hours of emails and DMs I've got, there's definitely a market
this
for
is,
it.
This is like, I don't mean to sound exploitative, but like someone has to step in and fill this void, and this is a perfect opportunity for you. A lot of these indie developers that might have had some kind of presence at E3, now may have none, are going to be looking to outlets like this one.
And I do think that people will keep that E3 week as the deadline. They were already pushing towards it. They already had it on the calendars. I think that you'll see, I would be shocked personally, if Microsoft's live event or the whatever their digital event doesn't take the place of that Sunday where their conference
usually because it's so closely aligned with E3 weeks, one of the banner events of E3 week.
I mean,
other companies though may not feel as aligned.
I think all the big guns will stick their spots. Bethesda will be Sunday night, right? EA, UB, Microsoft, they'll all be Monday.
So I think what's happening right now at Bethesda and Microsoft and Ubisoft and a lot of these companies is, what does that new digital event look like? Do we still want to have a big arena? Do we scale it down and just do like a direct or an Inside Xbox special edition? They still want to make a big deal out of the launch of this new hardware.
Oh yeah.
So I think they're probably very, very quickly now thinking about, from a production and presentational standpoint, how do we do something that is digital only with no live audience but still feels like a big event?
Yeah, my thing is, I think they'll be clustered together for that Xbox event, whatever it may be, right? The coming out party for the Xbox Series X. And so I think with that, you do want to have those announcements close-ish to each other. My question is for us, for Kind of Funny Showcase, and this might be too inside baseball, but is there any reason why we want to stick to June? Like, what is there any reason why we wouldn't want to do it before?
Personally, I think that's why I want to wait a little bit on it, and I wasn't very. And also, I don't want to dance on a grave or anything, and or be this isn't about us, right? I want to I want to use our platform to help, and so my thing today has been taking a breath and seeing how the rest of the industry is reacting to it and what it goes. Stephanie Tinsley, who runs Tinsley PR, obviously, but works with Devolver a lot and works with a bunch of indie games. She tweeted today, right, of just like, a lot of people are bringing up like how this is going to affect indies. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, E3's never given a shit about indies. That's why Devolver, right, is at a parking lot across the street from E3. And she's not wrong, right? We did the indie showcase at E3 last year because indies, it's really hard for them to get a presence on a stage in a Ubisoft press conference. Yeah. They're kind of not indies at that point, right? Like, or even, you know, how...
And like PlayStation.
Didn't they used to have, like, historically, they have like a little indie shanty town outside of E3?
Kensha Hall, right? Before it became...
Well,
no,
Kensha Hall used to be where you would go to get like the really crazy shit.
Yeah.
But like,
that's
saying, like,
an old cut.
But E3, like, much like Comic-Con, has since spilled over outside of the actual event center, like into the immediate. Like, they take over parking lots and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's Devolver's deal. Yeah, right. So Devolver always has that huge presence over there, yeah, where they're doing that kind of thing. Yeah. With their indies. So yeah, I think there's still a market for it. I think there is a thing. But where to keep it? Like, I think everyone will stick to that week, and I think that. Personally, like, this whole E3 thing, right? It's a bummer because I love seeing the industry come together and do one thing and talk at one time. Mm. I think, to me, that's what E3 is. If this had come down, you know, a year ago, 9 months ago, that, hey, E3 is dead, we're no longer doing E3, then I think it's a much different conversation of, like, how do you do this? Where do we move it? The fact that it's happening this close to E3 changes it to be, like, I still think everybody wants that week of nonstop action or those 4 days of nonstop action and announcements in this. It'll be more fascinating for me of what happens on E3 Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, Thursday, those days that weren't press conferences, that were just show days. Are we now defining E3 as that Saturday with EA Play through Tuesday,
like the
afternoon?
The actual conventions, or not conventions, actual presentations.
Everyone right now is scrambling. There are meetings going on right now.
Yeah.
The industry, again, for those of us, or for those of you who really enjoy hanging out with your game journalist buddies or whatever and getting drunk at the W, yeah, you're not going to get to do that this year. That's going to suck. But again, you'll live. It's not the end of the world. The only, I think the coverage coming out of E3 in terms of the people at home, the coverage is I don't think those people are going to suffer
so
at all.
So Krajuki writes in and says, hello, Blessing Gary. How will the cancellation of E3 affect industry insiders like yourselves, journalists, and other content creators who are usually running around from meeting to meeting during E3? How disruptive to the flow of information/hype do you think this cancellation will be? Thank you, as always.
It's just going to be different. Like, the spice must flow, right? The spice is going to keep flowing, right? There's going to be a big week of industry events over E3. It's going to be different. We might, because our hand has been forced, we might learn that some things actually work better a different way that we want. Like that turned out to be really good. Let's do that again. I think this could be a really interesting experiment. And again, not to sound too touchy-feely, but you could argue that the industry is coming together over this. They're coming together to keep people safe. And 100%. I think that makes total sense.
And I'm not trying to take away from that. To the question, like, how does it affect? It won't affect the top of the pyramid.
No.
It's not going to affect IGN, GameSpot, with all due respect to us, and I don't think that we're, like, you know, on that level. But, I mean, in terms of what we do, right? We go to E3 and we run around to these appointments, and lots of times you're running to it behind closed doors, hands off, somebody plays it for you. Who this is going to affect, again, is that when I'm in that room, I'm lucky enough that there's all these people watching or listening right now that want to come get my take on it. I'm in that room usually, what, with 29, maybe 19, depending on the size of the room. Other people who are writing for other sites who are smaller things. These are freelance people. They are working at that moment for three different sites.
Yeah, all the streamers and bloggers out there who use this as an opportunity to get views, and it's a big event for them.
And think about it this way too, that if we are just getting the one can demo put out, you are no longer getting that. Well, I have a question that I got that gets asked in the third demo of 15 in that week. And so that they get the breakout news story of, I asked this, nobody thought to, that gets sourced, that we learn more about the game. Instead, you're getting one demo that, as much as a fan as you are of us, Giant Bomb, IGN, US Gamer, whoever, how many times can you hear the same conversation about the same demo, right?
Right.
Like, that's the thing where if it was that, we went to a demo and guess what? Cyberpunk crashed. And or in this one thing, they it's one of those demos where they're like, do you want to go left or right? And we said right, but everybody else said left. Or
yeah.
It, they spun the camera in a certain way and I saw something and I asked about it and that led to this thing.
You will. And some of that will be lost. And again, this is going to hit people in so many different ways. As Greg pointed out, yes, the smaller guys are going to get hit harder than the bigger guys. That's just the world that we live in, and it sucks, but that's how it is. The Microsofts and the IGNs and the big companies are better placed to absorb this, and they will. I think if there's going to be potentially one big loser that comes out of this, it will be the ESA. Because again, I think that we'll get through this. We'll realize that, hey, that worked out pretty good, and we might look back and say, what are we really missing here? Why do we need to haul hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff in trucks to LA? You know, what are we really missing here other than a few hotel bar drinking sessions? Like, maybe we don't need a physical E3, or maybe it's just not that attractive. E3, like, even before coronavirus came along, as Sony dropped out and everyone was dropping out, people were saying E3 is moribund, as you know, I like to say.
I do know.
This might just demonstrate how unfit for purpose it's become.
Yeah.
Damien writes in, piggybacking off of that, and says, what's good, KFGD crew? With E3's cancellation and questions around if it'll ever return as is, how does this potentially impact conventions like PAX? Could we see those becoming more industry-focused events for press and business meetings versus fans/consumer-focused, or is there a possibility of seeing more, albeit smaller, events that are more industry-focused? One of the talking points online today is that indie developers may rely on E3 for pitches and deals that may not be as available to them without an event with everyone under one roof. Could a PAX be the next avenue for them? Thanks for all you guys do.
I think PAX is already that. If you go to PAX, if you go to the big ones like PAX West, PAX West and PAX East. Like, those are already like mini E3s on the show floor. They're just as big, just as bombastic. Companies do major announcements there. They do press availabilities.
And those are more for the indies also.
Yeah, and that's actually much more indie-friendly than PAX is. I think PAX is a way better show than E3 for everybody. Remember we had someone writing ages ago and said, like, should I try to go to E3? And we just said, no, just go to PAX.
Yeah.
You'll have a much better time.
It's designed for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in this world that the question's, you know, hypothetically doing, right? Because now it is, cool, E3's dead, everybody looks at Comic-Con. Like, are you going to fucking do this?
I'll say it right now. Comic-Con will not happen this year.
It has to.
Comic-Con will be next.
As well, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you look down the line, it's like, all right, Gamescom, VidCon, I'm just throwing out cons now, but I mean, as you go down the summer lineup, you get to PAX
I'm supposed to be speaking at a GamesBeat event at the end of April. I'm waiting for it to be cancelled, but if it's not cancelled by the end of this month, not going to happen. Comic-Con's not going to happen. I honestly think the Olympics is right in the firing line now.
Sure.
We're waiting for New York City to cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade. They have to. Yeah. Like, you've just got to be like, yes, it sucks, but like, there's no fucking choice.
If PAX West, if we have beaten coronavirus, because if that's the other thing, if coronavirus is still going and PAX West and Reed Pop are like, no,
they've got to be looking closely. And who knows where we're going to be? I only know one thing, and again, no, I don't know anything. But again, having followed the science and the expertise, this is going to get way worse before it gets way better. The former head of Homeland Security was on TV yesterday saying we're about a week away from hospitals being completely overwhelmed. It's going to get bad, and it's going to get bad quickly as it grows exponentially. And we don't know how long this thing's going to take to burn itself out. A lot of that will depend on how well it's managed, and right now it's being mismanaged to a criminally negligent degree. It's going to get bad, and I don't think there's any, you can make any safe assumption that, oh, by September, sure, it's all going to be cleared up. No,
that's the problem.
I don't think you can assume that at all.
Yeah. I think if we went I don't even think PAX, I think PAX West is not happening either. So then to go all the way around and get to PAX East of next year, right, in terms of how we're looking at I think that PAX would be important. That more important than usual. PAX East always important.
Do you think that becomes, because that PAX has always been important for consumers and fans and stuff. Do you think that becomes more important for press now that E3 is
100%, because I feel like usually what happens is we have so many different events and go to so many different things that when I get to a PAX, it is cool. Seeing shit on the show floor is the last thing I'm there to do. I'm there to collaborate on podcasts. I'm there to do panels. I'm there to host stuff. Like, I usually, the floor, with the exception of the Indie Mega Booth, is old stuff. And then for the Indie Mega Booth, a lot of it I have seen somewhere else or I've played it.
Yeah, people like me and Greg don't line up with the chuds to play demos. We go in through a secret celebrity backdoor.
We have the PlayStation booth and it has a whole bunch of games I've already played, whether it be at going down to PlayStation, whether it be at E3, whether it be whatever.
Yeah, a lot of the games at East are at West.
Yeah, and so like, so I feel like that would shift the dynamic there, where if all of a sudden it was the first time for any of us to get our hands on something we saw during an Xbox showcase, a Nintendo Direct, you know, State of Play or something to that effect, or a Kind of Funny Game showcase for indie stuff, that'd be a different thing. You'd be, in a way, starving for it, right? Of, ooh, I saw this game, but I really want to know how it feels. Mm.
As we start to wrap up this E3 section, I have a story 1.5 here. This comes from Jason Schreier, a tweet this morning. More news from me. Warner Brothers Games was planning to do an E3 press conference this year for the first time to talk about Batman, Harry Potter, and Rocksteady's game, among others. Remains to be seen what they'll do now. Barrett Courtney.
Barrett, I know how much that Batman game means to you.
I know how much WB means to you, Barrett.
Man, I would have rather like not known about this. I feel very conflicted, like in very different ways about this this specific news story. Like, yes, I'm glad that like we're all being smart about this. We're not having this event. That this needs to happen. And then there's like the other side of it is like, okay, it's cool to know that they were planning something big and whatnot. And then there's the other side. It's like, fuck, I would have rather just not have known, because now with all these questions that we're asking of like, what does E3 this year turn into, like with the whole like digital only kind of event?
I think they will segue to some kind of digital event.
Yeah,
exactly.
I can see
so like this kind of takes away from that like surprise almost, because you imagine that they're still going to do shit for it. So I feel a lot of different emotions about
it's funny. It's funny what you're talking about. Just as like an anecdotal thing, like things you'd rather not know about. So my in-laws were supposed to come out here on a cruise in a couple of weeks. And they, guess what? They were supposed to be on the same ship that is now a plague ship off Oakland. Yes. And so obviously that's all been canceled. And their big thing was to celebrate the fact they're turning 70 this year, which again, it's like you don't get on a cruise. Like they literally said, do not get on a fucking cruise.
Yeah, I know.
My father-in-law, after it was all canceled, told my mother-in-law, oh, it's a real shame that we're not going on this cruise, because I was going to surprise you. I booked the deluxe Royal Grand Suite. And she's like, I'd rather have not known that.
That's awesome.
Like, why would you tell me all just how awesome this thing was that we now have to miss out on? Like, did I keep that shit to yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt very like, why, we didn't need to know this. I don't know. Like, but again, on the other side, it's like, all right, so they were planning cool shit. I get that. That's cool. I don't know.
I mean, so there's two things that they do here. They either say, well, let's not do one big event, and we'll just find ways to, we'll build strategies around all these
like
different titles separately.
Or they
just take what they were planning to do and do it in some digital form. You're gonna get your kibble, Barrett. You're gonna get what you want.
And we've had, and I actually just want to get your quick opinions on this, because we've predicted this before, right? That we think WB Montreal's Batman game is probably a PS4, Xbox One game. Rocksteady's game, probably a next gen game.
Yeah.
Where do you think this Harry Potter game nets out?
It's next gen.
DS.
Next gen?
I mean, like when it leaked, there was no way that game was coming out anytime soon. Like that's not a Harry Potter feels like it's probably going to be longer out than Rocksteady's game.
Hey Barrett, has there ever been a good Harry Potter game?
They probably don't hold up today, but like the first two like movie tie-in games like were pretty good.
Like PS2 and Xbox.
The Lego ones probably.
The Lego ones are really fun. The one that was like really trash that I hated was Goblet of Fire, because they made it all level based, and it, like the way that game was kind of designed around the story was very bad and weird. But shout out to Order of the Phoenix. I hate that movie, but that video game is really good.
Remember they made Deathly Hollows games, right?
Yeah, I never played
them. Weren't they like shooters? I feel like they're third person shooters.
There's like a Kinect thing.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
And then shout out to Quidditch, which definitely doesn't hold up. I remember playing that with...
I remember watching the trailers for that.
We brought... when I was working at IGN, we brought out like a PS3 and like found a disc for Quidditch and Dornbush, and I played it for like 15 minutes. So I was like,
this doesn't hold up.
The loop is like every 30 seconds you're doing the same exact thing. Cool.
Man, Quidditch could have been the pod racer of the Harry Potter franchise.
I mean, it was at the time. It we loved it at the time, but going back to it like... a year and a half or 2 years ago, it was like, this doesn't age well. But yeah, there have been good Harry Potter games. But
there's never been an excellent Harry Potter game.
Never been like a Harry Potter game that isn't tied to the Harry Potter story. And if like the rumors are true, this is taking place like way before Harry Potter's time, way before Dumbledore and all that shit. So it's like very much not attached to the Harry Potter story. So I think it would be like a cool
the High Republic of the Harry Potter era.
Basically, and like we've never kind of seen that in a video game for Harry Potter before, so I think that'd be
Point that historically, while Harry Potter is a massive, massive property, in terms of games, it doesn't carry the same weight as the Batman games or something from Rocksteady,
no,
right?
No, because they've never had like
a truly great Harry Potter game.
The only thing they've had a dev, really, like a big name dev that we know for making incredible games behind a Harry Potter game yet.
Yeah. But anyway, cool, whatever.
You're gonna get everything you want.
This is all happening.
It's exciting and not exciting, you know? Like, I would have rather not been told about this and just have been surprised with whatever WB was instead. Because, like, again, everybody's going to have to pivot now. There's no way this news isn't not going to come out in some way, shape, or form. I would have rather not have heard about this today. So that's
fair enough.
That's my mood.
Before we transition, are there any thoughts, any last thoughts, any final thoughts on this E3 business?
I think this could be the beginning of the end of E3 as we know it.
I feel like this is like acceleration.
No, the beginning was a long time ago.
I think this is the middle of the end of the E3.
If anything, this is like
wash your fucking hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your fucking hands, everybody. Especially you, Blessing.
Don't shake hands.
I wash my hands all the time.
Blessing and I, for the first time ever, will not shake hands at the end of this show.
There you go. You're exclusive. There are quite a few questions I read during the show. And, of course, if you want to write your questions in, you can write them into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out of debt is hard, especially if your credit score isn't that great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. You know it, when Greg moved to SF, he needed a loan, and that loan had a terrible interest rate. Upstart would have helped. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top-ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/KF Games to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KF Games. Next, we're brought to you by Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. Tim got this for his mom because he noticed she was paying for all sorts of stuff she wasn't using. Why? Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless bill for just $15 a month and get your plan shipped free to your door, go to mintmobile.com/games. That's mintmobile.com/games. Cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/games. Lastly, we're brought to you by Brooklinen. Greg, Tim, and so many more Kind of Funny members only sleep on Brooklinen sheets because they're the most comfortable sheets in the world. Be like us. You know Brooklinen as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 plus 5-star reviews and counting. Greg loves them because they're soft, stylish, and easy to build online. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. Signs are on our end, by the way. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer bathroom and life essentials. Towels, shower curtains, bath mats, robes, and candles to add that extra lavish touch. Even ultra-soft loungewear, making you feel like you'd never left the bed. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewears, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. And hey, New Yorkers, if you're listening, you can get the internet's favorite sheets and more in real life. Visit Brooklinen's first store in Brooklinen at 127 Kent Avenue in Williamsburg. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Gary, are you ready for story number two? Finally.
is there a story number two?
There are four stories.
Oh,
today.
My God. All right. Well, I feel like there's going to be a big drop off here from like the nuclear bomb that we just
sifted through.
Oh, yeah, no.
The stories drop off, but we're going to cruise through them because they're fun stories.
I'm just so happy I finally get to be on a Games Daily that people watch. Because there's big news.
People watch for Widow
Not just like, oh, this Pokemon might have a different color fucking hat in this new game. Like, that's the biggest news I get to cover on a Wednesday.
Well, number two.
Finally, I get mega breaking news.
Speaking of mega breaking news, number two is time for another review roundup. This time it's Neo 2.
This could finally be the event that makes me as a true celebrity. Like, this could be my breakout moment.
Dude, of course.
This could be like when Artie got to host the Larry Sanders Show.
Barrett, how many
views? This could be my moment.
How many views do you feel like this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is going to get? Because it's going to get a lot, right? 100,000 in the first 3 days. No?
I mean, it's hard to tell, you know? Like, maybe a couple thousand.
Five.
I feel like people are starting to get a little bit tired of so many of the headlines on the show being coronavirus, but, like, this is the big one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's still going to be coronavirus news, but I feel like after this, it stops being the number one story.
Bigger events that will be canceled because of this, like potentially the Olympics. But this is the biggest.
Like video game.
There's no bigger gaming event that can get canceled.
We'll see,
this
man.
One.
Gamescom is coming up.
That
soon.
Will get canceled.
Yeah.
Have they not even announced that that's been canceled?
Gary, literally today they tweeted out tickets. They tweeted out today that you could buy
tickets
for Gamescom.
Criminal negligence.
The same day that E3 is canceled, which is like, I don't know if that's tone deaf or I don't know if that was a scheduled
will be
tweet, but I'll
stake my reputation for whatever the fuck that's worth. I would stake my reputation on it. Gamescom's is not going to happen.
Neo 2 reviews are coming in. On Metacritic, Neo 2 has an 86. IGN gives it a 9 and says, Neo 2 is an impressive evolution of its predecessor, strengthening everything that was already great while mostly leaving its already existing issues alone. Its stellar combat is elevated by the addition of soul cores, burst counters, and the ways in which those two main new mechanics affect enemy AI and how you approach battles. Its depth is impressive, even though that can also make it feel a little overwhelming due to how much time must be spent managing Neo 2's many systems. If you're up to the challenge, Neo 2 is no doubt one of the most difficult and rewarding games of this generation. WCCF Tech gives it a 9.6 and says, when looking back at how ambitious the first Neo was, playing through Neo 2 feels like a more polished experience, offering new tools to play and enemies to slay. This could be the start of a brand new Samurai Soul series, and I would be all for it. If you love the first Neo, there's more than enough reason to pick up a katana and embrace your inner yokai. And then lastly, Games Radar gives it 4.5 stars and says Neo 2 might play it safe in some respects, but the fluidity, depth, and intensity of his combat is incredible. Gary, do you have any interest in playing Neo 2 at all? Is that your type of game?
I didn't play Neo 1.
Are you a Souls person at all? Like a Souls born?
No. The games are too, you know me, I'm Mr. Baby Ass Baby Mode.
Yeah.
And I've been watching Andy Cortez over the past couple of weeks just go through an utter misery playing Bloodborne. Like, why would I want to subject myself to that?
Dude, I've been playing Bloodborne over the last month and a half.
Are you enjoying it?
The last, 3 months. I am really enjoying it. And Greg hit me up and he was like, hey, do you want the code for Neo 2? And he sent it to me. And I started playing Neo 2. And it is so hard.
Lots of gamers like that. They want to play a punishing game. And it's great that there are games out there like that, like Sekiro, that, you know, Bloodborne, Souls games, whatever, that can scratch that itch. It's just not for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have never thought this type of game would be for me until, like, halfway through Bloodborne, I'm realizing that it's punishing it in ways that I can forgive. It's funny enough, I've been playing Ori, which the review embargo went up yesterday. So
I hear that's great.
It. Yeah, Ori is, you know, fantastic, but there are certain parts of it that are so punishing, and it's punishing
in
ways...
Oh, it's hard?
It gets hard at points. Like, overall, it's not, like, hard like a Souls game, but
like
it is difficult.
Like Cuphead hard?
No, but, like, it has hard... there are boss fights that are difficult in Ori. And, like, the combat is not always forgiving.
Does it have adjustable difficulty?
Yes, I believe so. I believe it has adjustable difficulty, but I don't know if you can
Does Ori have adjustable difficulty?
I don't know if you can change your difficulty while you're playing, is the thing. Because I tried. Because I got to a boss fight that I was like, this is really difficult. I might just change this to easy real quick just so I can get through this
it's
game.
It's nice to be able to do that on the fly.
And I looked it up, or I went to the menus and I couldn't find a way to do it, so I just had to like power through it on normal.
But it's possible it might have it at the start.
At the start, yes. I believe
you're wrong.
It does.
Let us know, because I'm thinking about getting it. It's on Game Pass. Does Ori have adjustable difficulty?
So my thing with Souls games, specifically Bloodborne, because I can't speak for other Souls game.
Yeah.
Souls games. For Bloodborne, it's difficult in ways that I personally can handle. Like, it's punishing in ways where I'm like, this is okay to me. I like this difficulty. I like the back and forth in fighting a boss in this setup with these mechanics. Whereas in Ori, I got very frustrated at certain points, and I was like, shoot, man. Like, at certain points, I wanted to put the game down because
it's
so hard.
I feel like really good game design at the harder end of the difficulty scale is about a game being punishing and challenging, and it can be brutally punishing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be frustrating.
Yeah, as long as it's fun and rewarding, and it's frustrating in ways that, you know, you can accept. I think that's the sweet spot.
But for example, I never played the Dark Souls or Demon Souls games, but I used to really, really enjoy watching videos of people rage quitting and like, what the fuck? You know, like just the worst time that this game is giving you.
Yeah.
I can't possibly do that, but some people like that. They're almost masochistic in their gaming habits.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Andy's here, but if Andy wants to come on the shock mic, I wanted to ask him about his experience playing Bloodborne. He's not here?
Not here.
Okay.
I believe...
He's enjoying
he
it?
It's been great having... It's been great having Andy in the office because he's kind of like my my motivation when I'm playing Bloodborne, because he'll come through and he'll be like, oh, where are you at right now? And I'm just like, oh,
you
yeah,
need,
I'm at
I think
place.
You need a support group when
you
you're playing
you
a game like
that. You definitely do need
a
support group. I believe for Neo 2, we are streaming that game later this week.
So Neo is
Imran.
Off that ilk?
Neo is like a Souls game. Like it's
not for me.
But it seems even harder, which is crazy. Like, it seems even more difficult.
Right.
But yeah, I believe we'll be streaming that later this week with Imran and Fran and me. And so stay tuned for that.
Ooh, scary game sucks.
It's not even scary, it's just a Souls game. Scary. It's a samurai game. Yeah. It's Neo.
All right, guys, I'm sorry. I was misinformed.
It's
how
okay.
are you, Kevin?
I'm good. How you doing?
Yeah, good. It's good to see you.
I like your shirt. It's a good color.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think I got it from Target.
Oh my
gosh. Whatever.
Target's got good stuff.
Yeah.
We're 50 minutes into
Don't
the show.
Knock it.
And now we're at story number three, which
big
is
news day.
Doom Eternal. Oh, yeah, right?
E3 news. That's the big news.
Yeah, E3's canceled, Kevin. What
are you just waking up
what
to this now?
What are we doing the first week of June, Kevin? Me and you. Hey, go to L.A. Me and you. We party. Go to Hollywood. Meet up with, who's in Hollywood? John Boyega?
You want to hang out with Boyega?
You think you can hang out with Boyega?
Boyega's my pal. You want me
to hook
it up?
We're me and Boyega are Nigerian.
I can hook you up.
Number three, Doom Eternal is not true 4K on Google Stadia. This comes from Wesley Yinpool at Eurogamer. Doom Eternal is not true 4K on Google Stadia. Developer id Software has confirmed. Rather, the blistering first-person shooter runs at 1080p.
Hold on. What's this? What's he got for us?
I got an idea for a show. We call it Third Wheel. Me and you go to L.A., you hang out with your friends, and I just join you.
And you just like hang around on
ask
the periphery.
Ask questions and, you know, kind of get that going.
Be like, you know what you could do? You just be that guy that's like always trying to kind of wait for that right moment to integrate themselves to the conversation, like
and,
trying to catch
you
your eye,
to
like
shut me
just
down.
Hovering on the periphery, but I never acknowledge you. Let's do that. That's
it'll,
some great
it'll
content.
It'll be like comedians in cars getting coffee, but it'll be Kevin in L.A. being ignored by comedians or by celebrities.
Yeah. Again, I love the name Third Wheel. I'm just putting that out there.
Or I could drive around with like one of my L.A. celebrities.
Yeah.
You could sit in the back, and every time you try to say something, I just go, shut the fuck up, Kevin. You're out of your element. And just do that over and over. We should shoot that pilot. That would be easy to do. Stick up GoPro on the dashboard and we're done.
Man.
Why is it that every time I come in here...
This is going to be a long episode of Games
I feel
Daily
like
off.
My job on this show now is not even hosting this show. It's fucking giving you guys million-dollar ideas for content.
So I'm sad because the Japan trip hasn't come up in a while. Oh, and it's probably not
as I said on
now.
Twitter last night, though, that's out. So, oh, yeah, by the way, sorry, Kevin, that you're not going to Japan now. I'm not paying for your ticket anymore.
Why?
Is
there an
do you
outbreak
think?
Going on?
Corona?
Yes!
Well, after.
Next, they'll be like, we can go
okay,
next year.
Okay, well, we will revisit after that.
All right.
But for right now, that is way, way off on the back burner.
Okay.
You can forget about that.
To continue.
Let's do this show instead. Let's do the car,
what's
the
that,
car
what's
show.
That box, Kevin? Huh? Actually, I guess I probably shouldn't ask what a box is.
For Paula.
Oh, it's for Paula? Okay.
It's always for Paula.
To continue this article about Doom Eternal not being true 4K on Google Stadia, rather, the blistering first-person shooter runs at 1080p and 60 frames per second on HD displays and upsamples to 2160p from 1800p at 60 frames per second on 4K displays. The news comes as a surprise given Doom Eternal's position as one of the leading titles for Stadia, Google's use of the game to demo the tech to press, and the fact that it promised the game would run in true 4K a year ago. When Google unveiled its streaming platform at GDC in 2019, its boss, Marty Stratton, took to the stage to say Doom Eternal would run at true 4K, prompting a round of applause from the audience. Quote, "If you're going to prove to the world that you can stream that you can stream games from the cloud, what better proof than Doom?"
Indeed.
"And if you're going to prove to a developer that you're serious about building a robust platform, what better team than id, where we push every platform to its limit. We couldn't be happier to bring Doom Eternal to Stadia, and we are thrilled to announce that the game will be capable of running at true 4K resolution with HDR color at an unrelenting 60 frames per second," end quote. Gary, it seems like Stadia keeps taking the hits. No true 4K for Doom.
On the one, like, I can already see Yong Yi fucking firing up his camera.
Breaking it up.
Getting ready to pile on.
Angry Joe.
Angry Joe. There are all the usual suspects. are all going to be piling. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, dude. I used to love Angry Joe. I still love Angry Joe.
I love Angry Joe. I don't agree with him on everything, but I like his energy.
Yeah.
And I like Yong. I like all these guys are out there. They're helping keeping people's feet to the fire. They're doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
These videos are coming. On the one hand, I don't know how it is that Google and Stadia are somehow managing to make it a situation where every single piece of news that comes out is bad. Like, when's the last time they announced good news?
It's
they
the
haven't,
Fallout 76
ever.
Situation. This is like Fallout 76 last year, where it was the release and then, oh, this game's broken. Oh, there's this. Oh, the bag. Oh, like,
and
all
this
these
and
things.
This is now a situation where this is the worst one yet, because Doom Eternal is a major, major, major title.
It's
this
like
is
the kind
premier of
title.
And they said it right. This is exactly the kind of title that should be demonstrating what Stadia is truly capable of. This guy went out and gave us all a copper-bottomed promise that this game, thrilled to announce that the game will be capable of running at true 4K resolution with HDR color and unrelenting 60 frames per second. Okay, now that we know that that is not true.
Uh-huh.
Where's the follow-up statement? You won't see one.
Yes.
Where's the follow-up statement that explains why that turned out to not be
true?
What
I want to know is the reasoning, because I believe this article, they do reference, let's see, this news comes as, I'm trying to figure out where they got the news from, because I believe they asked for a statement from them, and that's how they learned that, like, yeah, this isn't actually running it at 4K, but I guess they didn't give reasoning. They just said, yeah, it's not what we're doing now.
I mean, when you go
concerned.
Out of your way to make someone a promise, and you do it in such specific and certain detail as this, around such an important title, and then you fail to deliver, I feel like the people that paid money for Stadia are owed an explanation.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I'm curious. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Do any of the games on Stadia run at 4K 60?
That's been a point of contention, but the answer is kind of like an all over the board kind of like, well, kind of yes, but kind of no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the just straight unqualified yes that we were promised, and that's the point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And so this, like, it really is kind of death by a thousand cuts currently for Stadia. And I mean,
how many people can be? I know they don't put out. They're not putting out the numbers because the numbers, no doubt, are shit.
Oh yeah.
But like, how many fucking people are playing Stadia right now?
I mean, the whole re-up thing just passed, right? Like the three months ran out. You know, that ran out. And
they're giving pro subscriptions away to Verizon. They're trying to do all kinds of promotions. If you've got a Chromecast Ultra, they'll give you pro for free for 3 months. If you've got Verizon Fios, they're doing all these kind of deals to try and like goose the numbers and get people to try it. I think that's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. They need to be doing much more than that to turn Stadia around.
Yeah.
Right now, look, we've said it so many times, but Stadia continues to be a fucking mess. This is the latest embarrassment. I was rooting for it. I had a Founders Edition pre-ordered until the last minute when it became obvious it was going to be a shit show and my $130 was going to be wasted. I like Phil. He's a friend of mine. I have other friends over there who are working in the Stadia division.
Mm. They have great people over there.
It's not working right now. They desperately need to radically rethink their approach.
I agree, Gary. Number four. Two new Nintendo Directs might be incoming. This comes from Jordan Gerlbick at GamesRadar. He writes, We're likely to learn a lot more about Nintendo's 2020 lineup shortly if reports are true that two Nintendo Directs are being scheduled for this month. Sources at VentureBeat are saying Nintendo is wrapping up an indie showcase presentation that's likely to air March 18th, which isn't technically a direct, but we get it. Following that, word is another more general Direct will be broadcast March 26th. Allegedly, the two March Nintendo Directs won't focus on any one specific game, but rather the Switch lineup more broadly through 2020. The reporting doesn't make clear what games, if any, will be announced during the next two Nintendo Directs. That said, it sounds like we can expect more remasters and ports to release on Switch this year, as well as games from third-party developers and publishers. And I feel like this kind of lines up with a conversation me and Tim were having recently about there not being a Nintendo Direct to kind of set up what Nintendo's 2020 looks like. And my prediction is that, yeah, after March 20th, the release of Animal Crossing, we'll get something quite soon after, because I feel like their strategy up to this point for 2020 has been, hey, let's have all gears toward Animal Crossing and let Animal Crossing kind of own this quarter. And right. Then as soon as that's out and we have nothing really left on the agenda of consequence, right? They have No More Heroes. They have Bayonetta 3, which doesn't have like a date. They have Shin Megami Tensei, doesn't have a date. They have a bunch of games that don't have a date. Golf Story, which does have like a season. But after Animal Crossing, right, let's then use that opportunity now that the schedule's clear to lay out what this year looks like.
Yeah. I mean, look, I like, you notice how Barrett reacted when you read the headline? He got excited because we love Nintendo Directs, right? They don't always deliver, and Nintendo doesn't always do as many of them as we might like. But whenever a Nintendo announces a Direct, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning for the last one.
Yeah.
We love them. Dude, we love them.
I was here for the Smash. Like, that wasn't even a Direct. That was just like a Smash reveal.
Right?
And that simple thing got me here at 6.
Everyone loves them, and I feel like, and to go back to the top of the show, the big E3 story, I think the Nintendo Directs have already demonstrated just how communal a digital-only event can feel, because we all come together around the Directs. The YouTubers and the Twitch streamers, they all stream their reactions, kind of funny. We all come in and do our live reaction. People get excited about Directs, and that's a purely digital event.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's actually potentially an encouraging sign and an encouraging template as the big E3 exhibitors, you know, pivot to what do we do now that can be on in a digital format.
Gary, I'm very excited to see if Nintendo Direct, if two Nintendo Directs happen a couple weeks from now. But a couple weeks is so far away. If I want to know where I could go to find out what's coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
First of all, I just want to say I'm so glad that you're off that thing of like weaving your little tails and then slapping me in the face with the fake
ending.
They'll
come someday. I have to let you forget about it first.
I know. You're very smart. You can wait in the tall grass for me to forget about it.
I'm waiting to pounce.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every Wednesday. Each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Ori and the Will of the Wisps for Xbox One and PC, Jump Step Step for PS4, Cartoon Strike for PC, Fantasy Memory Card Game for PC.
The hell is that?
I have no idea. Rhythmic Retro Racer for PC, and then Rogue Planet Games announced today that the release of... Wait. Rogue Planet Games announced today the release of Escalation, the largest update to date for the fan-beloved MMO-FPS PlanetSide 2.
The news for me there is PlanetSide 2 is still going.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have realized
that. I had no fucking
idea,
and I love the original PlanetSide.
Did you really love PlanetSide?
Oh, I played the shit out of it. That's funny. Star Siege Tribes. Those two games I played the shit out of when they were first out.
PlanetSide 2, both. I feel like I've talked about this on a show before, probably PS I Love You. I remember when the PS4 originally came out, when I first got my PS4, I think PlanetSide 2, I got into it a little bit because it was free to play and it was a shooter. So I was like, oh yeah, like a free shooter, I'll play it. And it was one of those ones where I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing in this game, but I just enjoyed shooting things. And so it was a fun time for that.
Right.
And then new dates. Game of Thrones Beyond the Wall launches on March 26th for iOS and April 3rd. For Android. And then Missile Command Recharge launches on iOS and Android on March 26th. And usually we'd go into reader mail and questions, but we've had a lot of questions, and we're very late in the show. And so I'm going to skip directly to Squad Up. Marley Nito writes in and says, hey, KFBFs, after finally getting the Last of Us Platinum Trophy, I wanted to get some more and then I became nostalgic for some oldies but goodies. So I wanted to get all the trophies for Journey, which is an amazing game. But some trophies require you to play the Journey together with people, but the game is pretty empty right now. So I asked the community if they want to go on a journey with me. Thanks, Marley Nito. If you want to go on a journey with Marley Nito, Marley Nito is Ingenito 1993 on PS4.
Wait, I don't know how that would work, because Journey just matches you with a random person. It doesn't have to be someone off your friends list.
That's a good point. Maybe
I don't think you can make a squad up happen in Journey. Like, the whole point is it's just the thing that randomly happens.
Maybe the idea is
not.
They want people online at the same time, so maybe it'll just automatically matchmake. If there's
I don't think adding him on PlayStation 4 is going to help. Because I don't think the game...
Yeah.
I may be wrong, because it's very opaque how Journey does it. But I don't think that Journey prioritizes people on your friends list or anything like that if you're playing.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Someone does bring up in the chat, though, like, if it's pretty empty right now, and if you guys decide to start the game,
just
at
be
the
on the game
time,
at the same time.
You
know,
right, but
like,
you're still at the mercy of the game choosing to match you on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of worked with me and when me and Kevin were playing Peace Walker on PS3. The reason why we're able to play with each other or find each other so easily is that nobody else is online.
I mean, I get that it's gone on the way now that Journey's obviously not, you know, it's not a current game anymore.
Yeah.
The last time that Leah played, not long ago, she found someone and she has the white robe,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, she's like maxed out the game and completed it in every way.
Yeah.
And usually when you find a white, when people spot a white robe in Journey, they gravitate towards him. He's like, oh, you'll be able to help show me around and show me secrets and stuff because that's an expert player. Yeah, it's harder now to find people in Journey. Like, you've probably got a better chance of finding a match in any random Stadia game right now. Like, the game's going to be relatively empty. But that was always kind of the magic of Journey, was that the matchmaking was something that kind of happened. It was left up to fate. Like, it either happened or it didn't. It wasn't something you could make happen.
I also played Journey later. I played Journey when it came out for free on PS Plus on PS4, which was later, but it just came out on PS Plus, which means people are on it.
Yeah.
And
it's nice to meet someone, but even if you don't, you're still going to have an amazing experience.
Yeah. There you go. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you can write in and let us know what we got wrong as we recorded the show. Prodigy Child writes in and says, the primary Italian soccer league, Serie A, has suspended all games until further notice as of this morning. And that was in regards to us saying that, like, the games were taking place
indoors. If I was a fan of Liverpool Football Club right now, I would be very nervous. Because they are running away. They're 25 points ahead in the Premier League. I think they're about 2 or 3 games away from locking in the Premier League title. But it's entirely possible the league might get suspended, and then who the fuck knows what happens. Personally, as a Tottenham fan, I would love them to restart the league, because we're having a shit season.
The Neobiologist writes in and says, yes, the first Deathly Hallows game had shooter elements in it. There was also side missions that were very mundane and repetitive. But yeah, I remember that very vividly, like watching the commercials for Deathly Hallows and being like, this looks like a third-person shooter. Let's see. Anakin JMT writes in and says, Devolver Digital tweeted out that they'll do a live stream / direct press conference and possibly more. So we got some Harry Potter corrections. Oh no, these aren't really corrections. These are more clarification.
Did you get anything on Ori?
Did I get anything on Ori?
Because I asked for people to clarify if Ori had adjustable difficulty. The one thing I ask for, come on, best friends, you had one job.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps has easy, normal, and hard modes that can be selected before starting the game.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just probably not tweakable throughout.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it's not tweakable throughout. Right. Because
easy
I
mode.
Really tried to.
Baby yes, baby mode.
But yeah, if you want to start the game off on easy, boom.
I'm gonna.
I think it's worth... That's the thing that sucks, though, is that you can't tweak it during it. Because I think it's worth
I like
starting
it when they
normal.
Can tweak, because you want to be able to make an adjustment if you're struggling.
Because I don't have much fun with games... If I start off on easy, and like if games are too easy, sometimes that messes with my enjoyment of the games. But you know, I that's why I prefer starting off on like a harder difficulty and then working my way down. If I'm
not many games have done this, but some have like kind of dynamic difficulty. Like the game can sense if you're struggling and will actually make it a little bit easier for you without asking you if you want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
I always used to like it in GTA, the GTA games, where if you failed a mission enough times, it would just say,
do you want to skip
do you want to just say we've done this one and move on? Like, fuck yeah, thank you.
That was a great mechanic. D-Block writes in and says, currently 9 games run at 4K 60 on Stadia.
Okay.
And then Kevin Swamp says, sports story, not golf story. Like you said, golf story is out. Thank you. I did mess that up. Kevin Swamp also writes in, you missed Grab and Jab for Nintendo Switch. For a year out, or not year out, out today, thanks. And I think that it, credit for the Nintendo Direct leaks go to Jeff Grubb. Shout out, homie. And then, yeah, that's it for You're Wrong. Of course, this tomorrow's hosts are Greg and me. Greg in the host seat, me in the passenger seat. Though, who knows? Because every single day has been different than what we said this week for KFGD. And so you'll see tomorrow who the hosts are. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news that you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, Gary,
Wait. I'm going to wave at you.
Yes.
But, because I don't want to restrict it to only people in the post show, many, many people have become very excited about this NBA Street thing.
Oh.
I know you were able to find your copy of it.
Yep. And we got somebody sent in a copy.
Oh, somebody sent in a copy?
Yeah, we have multiple copies.
That's great. Well, thank you, whoever that was. So we're one step closer.
Yes.
I need to talk to Tim about getting on the schedule.
Yes, 100%.
You have been running your mouth quite a bit.
Yeah.
So still confident.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing I've been pondering as I've been at home, right? Do I practice at all, or do I just come in fresh and just show everybody that I don't even
You're
need...
You're that confident.
I don't even need to grease up the wheels.
Rust that you need to shake off or anything?
Like, the only dust I need to shake off is to figure out who my team is going to be.
You should practice.
Should I though? Because
yes,
I don't want to embarrass folks.
There's a bit of a tallest in the hair vibe going on here.
It really is a little bit of hubris.
I mean, if you don't want to, totally fine. You're going to end up in last place, though.
Bear, are you participating in this tournament? Do
you
want
gotta.
The hands?
Dude, I'll fucking go. I'll fucking throw some hands right now.
You think I won't choose what's her name? Biggie Little? Whatever her name is. There's like a short girl who's like dope. She has dope handles. I think her name is Biggie Little. Biggie Littles. Like
what?
Biggie Smalls. Anyway.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Stay tuned.
People know what I'm talking about. But yeah, stick around for that. We'll figure out when that's going to be on the schedule. Yeah, until next time, Game Daily.